Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry during our September anniversary month. We are celebrating 66 years of continuous radio broadcast. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
When Jesus changes people's hearts, they live differently. That's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we return thanks to you for the blessings which you have so graciously bestowed upon us, and the fact that our lives can be changed, that if we live with you and we become new people in Jesus Christ, the old has passed away and the new has come. Grant, O God, as we look into our lives, that you will grant us the forgiveness of those things which are wrong, but also help us to understand that there is hope and that we can be changed. As long as we're on this earth, the power of your Holy Spirit can make us new people. Grant, O God, that you will speak to us through your word this day, we may find comfort and peace in knowing that we have a Father who loved us so much that he gave his Son. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of 1 Peter, beginning with verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, can one expect a person to live as a Christian until he or she has met Christ and received him as Savior and Lord? The obvious answer to that question has to be no. Yet think of how often we are inferring that a person who is not a Christian would follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, a minister, and I'm no exception, I've done this often, can stand in the pulpit and say, "We ought to love as Christ loved us." There is a place for that in the pulpit, and we know that it will continue to be proclaimed. But there are many people who sit in the pews who do not have the foggiest idea what this love of Christ is all about. The reason is they have never experienced Christ's love in their own hearts. Or here is a person, well-meaning, who gives Christian counsel to her friend. She says to her, "You know, you've got to forgive that person who has hurt you so badly." And then she says, "After all, Christ has forgiven you." You see, the problem is that the person to whom she is talking does not make sense at all because that individual has no experience of what it is to be forgiven by Jesus Christ. As the old saying goes, it is easy to get the cart before the horse. Before you act like a Christian, you have to be one. Now comes a second question. Do people whose lives have been changed by Jesus Christ live differently than the society of which they are a part? And the answer to that is yes. In the first chapter of 1 Peter, we have some very interesting words. Here he says, "He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times." In other words, Peter is saying, you have become inheritors of the eternal life gift that God alone can give to you. You have been made new. You have been grafted into Christ. You are in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He means a great deal to you. That's what he's writing about. Those are the people that he is addressing in this letter. He is not writing to people who are outside of Jesus Christ. He is not making an appeal for their conversion, at least in this part of the letter. So when he has stated this proposition, that because you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, now, therefore, your life reflects it, or your life has been changed. It is ridiculous to expect a person who is not a Christian to live as Christ would have him or her to live. But it is equally ridiculous for one who confesses faith in Christ as Savior and Lord not to show this faith in his or her life. A new heart always brings forth a new spirit. If anyone is in Christ, St. Paul said, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In other words, friend, and I think here we have to listen carefully to what the Word of God says, the pattern of sin has been broken. The sinner has been transformed. It does not mean that he or she lives perfectly. Absolutely not. We continue to be sinners. But we have an understanding that that pattern, that desire to live in that way which is contrary to the will of God, is no longer what we really want if we have met Jesus Christ. We have a biblical understanding of who we are. We have an understanding that we are fallen people. We have a broken, sinful nature, and without Christ controlling us, we understand what that nature is capable of doing. In other words, there is a real difference, and we understand it when we are in Christ, between the person who knows Him as Savior and Lord and the one who yet lives outside of that relationship. Let me try to illustrate this by quoting from Charles Colson's book. He tells there in one of his books the story of Mike Wallace, who was interviewing Yehili Denner. Denner was a concentration camp survivor. He was a witness at Nuremberg trials and was asked to testify in the trial of Adolf Eichmann. Eichmann, you recall, had been the architect for the concentration camps, and Denner had been a prisoner at Auschwitz. When Eichmann walked into the room and Denner saw him, he began to weep, and then he fainted. When asked why he fainted, Denner made it very clear it was not because of his hatred for Eichmann, but rather to see that this was a criminal just like another man. And for some reason, he had put something in his mind that Eichmann would look different. So Denner wrote, "I was afraid about myself. I saw him as a man. And then I realized I am capable to do what he did. I could be exactly like him, left on my own." To Denner, it was frightening to think what the human being was capable of doing when the pattern of sin was not broken and his or her own nature was brought under control. Certainly Eichmann, as a child, had no thought of being responsible for the death of millions of people, but circumstances in his life and a sinful nature made him what he was. The pattern of sin had not been broken. And here Peter is saying, when you come to know Christ, then you're going to live differently. Not that you will not sin. Not that every day you will not have to come to the cross. Not that every day Jesus Christ will have to assure you that your sins are forgiven. But the words that came from the book of Leviticus in the 19th chapter and the second verse, and which was quoted by Peter in this chapter, which is our text today, ring in our hearts. Because you are in Christ, your life has been changed. Let me just read these to you as they come before us today in this Word of God. Because you are in Jesus Christ, therefore prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. That's different, isn't it? The person outside of Jesus Christ does not necessarily hear this. Be self-controlled. You're not controlling yourself. God is in control of your action. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Notice a break there? There were evil desires, but at that time you didn't understand what God had done in the sending of His Son. He had never touched your life. Now He has. But just as He who called you is holy, so you be holy in all that you do. For that's what it's written. Be holy, because I am holy. Now, what does that really mean, people? Let's take a few examples. If I have been touched by the love of God in Jesus Christ, the unforgiving spirit that lives in me is suddenly changed, and I become a forgiving person. Isn't that important? Boy, that's hard for me to take sometimes, because when you're hurt, and when you're hurt badly, how hard it is to simply let go. And yet that's a change. Now again, as I have mentioned in the earlier part of this sermon, when the lady went to her friend and says, you just got to forgive that individual. That does not make sense until we have really been forgiven by God Himself. That's a change. Don't try to say to your friends who are not Christians, you got to forgive that person. That can only irritate a little bit more. There's something else that has to be said at that particular time, but not that one. No, it is not until we have tasted of his grace that we begin to understand that we must give that grace out to other people who might have been offensive to us. Here's another one. The profaned tongue of the past can be changed to share the gospel. I have lived around in our community. I get to know the people pretty well. I think especially this is true in retirement when they think that I'm away from the church and maybe things are just a little bit different. The tongue is pretty hard. The tongue is filled with profanity. The tongue can tell us an off-colored story. But then when those people come to know Christ, things are different. Oh, does it mean that they never slip? Of course they slip. Of course we slip. Of course that which comes from our tongues can be terribly offensive to Almighty God. And if we do not use profanity in that sense of the word, it can be other uses of the tongue with gossip and hatred, all the rest that is going along with it. But the pattern has been broken. We are not happy to live that way. We want something else. What is it that we're anxious to do? The person who is in Christ needs to take that tongue and use it to share the gospel, to tell the person about Jesus, to tell that person about how his life can be enriched. You see, that's the difference. But there's no sense to go around and talking to people about their language. At least I have not found it that way. Until they first know Christ. Don't go after them because of their profanity, their gossip, their lying, or whatever else it may be. Expecting them to change. They don't have the power within them to change. Tell them about Christ. The immoral person becomes a faithful spouse. That's quite a change, isn't it? During the course of my ministry, I ran into several cases where the person had been immoral, had been unfaithful to the spouse. And you would have thought, well, maybe it's time for that woman or that man to give him or her up. But they stay right with the individual. And then one day the person meets Christ. And that immoral person becomes a faithful spouse. And what a marriage it becomes. For linked together with the forgiveness of sin, the person who was guilty can be well received. And the commitment becomes greater every day. When you meet Christ, greed is replaced with a love to share your gifts. When you are a person who is outside of Jesus Christ, it seems at times that there is not enough of the material that one can get his hands on to enjoy. But after you meet Christ, for some strange reason, the material suddenly is not nearly as important. There are bigger things, and I'm anxious to share my time and my talent and my money with Christ in bringing this message of salvation to our world. When one meets Jesus Christ, if he or she be an addict, they begin to discover that God can provide them with the power to move from addiction to sobriety, to see the hell of addiction change to the joy of sobriety. But don't really talk to somebody about being sober until you show them where the power is to become sober. That's why the gospel is so very much needed, where there is all of that affliction. I tell you, friend, it all comes back to this. It can be summarized in this one statement, and that's what I leave with you today, and may it be carried in your heart throughout the week. Changed hearts, hearts that are changed by Jesus Christ, live differently. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for that blessed hope that your word has given us today. When we examine our own lives, we realize, O God, how we need help from you. The potential that is ours to walk in our own way and do things that are not pleasing neither to you nor comforting to us. But, O God, to know and to experience, as many have, that when you live in our hearts, Lord Jesus, things are different. And we begin to understand in day-by-day living that St. Paul was right when he said, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Come, Lord Jesus, and change us. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. September is anniversary month for Christian Crusaders. We are broadcast on 34 stations in 12 states. With 66 years of continuous radio ministry, Christian Crusaders is the 8th oldest radio ministry in the United States. We are grateful to you, our listeners, for making this ministry possible with your financial support and your prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. You can listen to this sermon again or print out this sermon or a choice of several hundred sermons. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.